DT and Sal here. Sal is off. The next time that we're together entirely as a show will be next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow. I am obviously here tomorrow, and then I'm off the rest of the week, and then Sal is in tomorrow. Sal is in Wednesday, and then he is off the rest of this week, including tomorrow. So he's here one day. I'm here today and tomorrow. I think Moose is jumping in for a couple days, so you'll be in pretty good hands with Moose. That'll be fun. And then when Sal and I get back, it is Tuesday, and it is football go time. The sprint starts, Yankees, Mets, Jets, Giants, you know, Knicks and Rangers, training camp. Can't wait. And as you know, when we start football season, we play for something. Anybody can hand over, oh, I owe you $50, or I owe you $100. No, we play for embarrassment. So the first year, it was doink and it was gold dust level embarrassment. As Sal and I lost, Hoff was victorious. This year, Sal was victorious, and it was Brother Love, me, and Papa Shanko, Hoff. So there are big stakes again. Football Friday is going to be absolutely awesome. Can't wait. And hopefully from, you know, a non-betting or a non-entertainment perspective, hopefully they're just better. And I think that they're going to be much more competitive. You know, I've got win totals kicking around my head. I'll give them to you as we obviously get into that first or that final couple days before week one. Not yet. I'm in the neighborhood on both. I'll reveal them next week. But I just think it's going to feel different and it's going to look a little different. All right, now. Huff, I got to ask you something when you're done with the phones here. Let me set this back up. So I want to do it before we had Nick on, and thanks to Nick for hopping on. So, you know, most of the show's been about the Yankees and, like, how they've just really stripped the energy away from me. And they've just, you know, it's slowly leaving my body. Certainly the belief, that left a while ago. But, like, even, like, the willingness to put up my, you know, and fight. Like, I'm not going to fight a fight that I don't think is winnable. And I don't think the Yankees will win the World Series. Now, that doesn't mean you just abandon your team because you don't think they're going to win the World Series. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm talking about is the constant pushback that some of you still muster up the energy to do, despite knowing that it's pretty much the same team and the same problems. Yeah, they catch the ball a little better. Yeah, the lineup is a little more, you know, whole or full, if you will. But we all know, or at least we should, that there's flaws that will prevent them from winning big again. And then when I throw the Mets in there, and I know the Mets, you know, yesterday was a very frustrating loss. I get it. But based on where they were, not too long ago, 7 straight losses, lose 2 out of 3 to the wretched Nats, you know, lose 2 out of 3 to the Braves at City before that. Like, the Met fan was in a bad spot as well. And I would think that this weekend would at least temporarily scrub away a lot of that negativity. Now, I think if you have your druthers, maybe you win Friday, you lose Saturday, you win Sunday, you end the weekend feeling good rather than blowing a lead and, you know, having a loss that's going to sting. But I think that the Mets right now, with McClain stepping up twice, going deep, obviously on Friday, going 7, Holmes going 7, which is a bit of a stunner. And maybe more specific, well, not more specific, because the McClain revolution, I mean, that's been huge. But between Vientos and Beatty, both whose numbers for a while now have been ticking up in the right spot, I thought Hoff would be, I'm not saying he's doing cartwheels, you know, because yesterday was a tough one, but you didn't really seem to have any enjoyment, Hoff, and I was surprised from this weekend.
Enjoyment from the fact that they should have swept the Braves. They're still in a the playoff race is still too close with the Cincinnati Reds on their tails. They won again yesterday. They came back. They won like 7-1 versus the Diamondbacks. So that bothered me. Plus the fact that Pete Alonso played terrible this entire weekend. He went 2 for 15. He did hit a home run, but everything else he got under. He was in big spots. He got under everything. The ball was barely getting out of the infield. He's grounding down on first pitches that he swung at. He was awful. I still can't stand this bullpen. Like, it scares you. Dude, it was. You're right. Nolan McClain was amazing on Friday. Was amazing. 7 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits, no walks.
Yeah.
7 strikeouts, and then you got Reed Garrett and Ryan Helsley come in. They give up 5 runs in 2 innings.
Helsley,
that's not good.
Has been as bad as you can be.
Yeah, That doesn't make me feel confident.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Nolan McClain, this is early on. Do we think this is going to be his production throughout the rest of the season? Not sure yet. You know, Clay Holmes was good. Okay, fine. But then you go back to the same thing with Peterson. Has a rough outing. Not a rough outing. Has a rough inning. And Carlos Mendoza is late to the party again. And there's too many times, BT, this season, whether it's Manaea since he's been called back, Senga, now Peterson, where Mendoza allows the bases to get loaded and he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have the feel. Is it time to pull the pitcher?
Mm-hmm.
This time he let, you know, Peterson go, and then he gave up the two-run base
burned.
Hit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, now normally he goes to the bullpen. But even in those situations, it's like, why are you letting the bases get loaded? It's a bad spot. You know that your pitchers don't go deep. Why are you trying to push them?
Well, sometimes you push them just to get a little length here. Number one, you believe in the guy. I don't know if you're letting somebody out there that you don't believe in, and he definitely believes, and he should. I'm not saying he made the right movie. I say he didn't. But the conviction and the faith in Peterson is justified. That's number one. Number two, like forget about Peterson in general. The reason why you do that is because you're trying to help regenerate this bullpen, which has been just exhausted for months off.
Dude, and months. And BT, you nailed it right there. I'm going to kill David Stearns right here for a bit, and he's going to catch a ton of fire. If this Mets team doesn't make the playoffs, David Stearns is going to be under so much heat this entire offseason. A hot stove, he's going to be the heat. He's going to be the stove, bro.
So he's going to provide the warmth.
Well, I don't know what he's going to get, but I'm going to get a lot of hate towards him because here's the deal. He's trying to be too smart. This entire season, we all knew the pitching staff was not as good as we thought they were going to be. They couldn't go deep into games.
Yep.
This bullpen was going to get worn out. And rather than making a trade for a guy like, hey, Shane Bieber just came back the other day, pitched six innings, gave up one run. I think he gave up two hits, struck out nine in six innings. One run. His whip for the game in six innings was .33. So he came back on fire. Former Cy Young, got traded from the Guardians. Guess what? They traded a draft pick. He was like, now he's in the Guardians farm system. It's a seventh. He's now like the seventh prospect. I would have given, they traded 12 picks. 12 picks or 12 prospects, excuse me, for four guys that none of them are good. I would have traded 12
guys. I think
Soto's
been okay before. Like, he's had one or two months.
He's been
Soto's
okay.
Been pretty good.
But he blew the game on Sunday. But still, even
Mullins
that.
Mullins hasn't given you much.
No, give us zero.
He really hasn't.
Helsley, Rogers. Rogers got these rubber arms so he can go every game.
He's fine.
I would have traded 12 players for Shane Bieber, someone that can give you actual innings and help you save the bullpen.
Well, listen, again, I appreciate the concerns because I do think that there's still concerns with the Mets, but I would say this. You know, think about how the Met fan felt about 2 weeks ago and really going back as recently as 2 weeks ago and extending over the course of 2 months or so versus now. Think about what's changed here. And I'm going to give you three things that changed. Number one, McClain has changed at least the perception and the energy around the Mets, number one. Number two, the Yentos is hitting. And number three, so is Beatty. I was giving these numbers. I know you were on the phone before, but early in the show. The last 30 days, Vientos has six homers, 18 ribbies, and his OPS is over 900. That's the last 30 days. Not last 3 days, not last five. That's a month. And it's not like it's a month where it's like, well, he did nothing last year. That at least is a possible foreshadow that Vientos is ready to join the party, number one. Number two, Beatty's last 50 at-bats. All right, 50 at-bats. He's hitting .333, and he's got an OPS over 1,000. And I think more importantly, Beatty, unlike Vientos defensively, Beatty has shown that he can pick it at third base, and he can play second, too. Like, the thing with Beatty's a guy, and I'm not saying that he's going to be a 7 or a 10 or a 12, 15-year Met. I'm not saying that. But Brett Beatty and I'm going to stick with Beatty. Brett Beatty has quelled the concerns that he can at least play slightly above average defense. He has done that. If you Met fans don't feel that, I'm not sure what to tell you, but he has. And he's done it at more than one place. He's done it second, and he's also obviously done it third. Now that his stick is along for the ride, and he's starting to show some pop, he's going to finish up with 20-something home runs. So, again, this is not the Yankees are doomed and the Mets are perfect. Neither team is perfect, and neither team's winning the World Series. But right now, if you said, even though the NL is better than the American League, I just feel like there's less wrong with the Mets. I honestly do than with the Yankees. I do.
With the Beatty stuff, they're too hot and cold. Same with Vientos. I'm happy he's starting to hit had the ball and hit home runs.
It's about time.
It's very, very important that he's doing that. But Beatty's been hot and cold all season long, and he's been hot lately, sure. But then if you take away the one game where he had basically four singles on Friday night, he went 4 for 6.
Yeah.
His last five games, he's basically take those four hits away, which you don't. But he's got 6 hits in the past 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he went 4 for 6 with 4 singles the other
day. I know.
Like, I'm not impressed by him, and he gets too cold too quick. And that's been the MO for this whole Met team. Same thing with the Yankees,
though. But you got to want him more than Mauricio out there.
Well, it's weird. Like, Mauricio, I still think is going to be the better hitter.
I think I might agree with you down there. Maybe. I don't know. Because even yesterday, it was yesterday. It's like slider at the ankle, strike one, strike. He looks lost now.
But here's the thing, BT. He played, this is his first game in eight days.
No, like, I know, but even when he came up, the knock on him is the inability to hit the soft stuff. And, like, to me, now, I'm not saying he's got to figure it out in a month. I want to be fair.
No, of course.
Ripped up his knee, missed a whole year. I think he's definitely got more tools than Brett Beatty, no question, and more tools than Vientos. But, I mean, if you can't hit a slider or a curve and he misses them by a mile, I know he's going to tighten it up a little bit, but it doesn't mean it's going to ever be a strike.
His sample size is so small right now, which is why a lot of people are sitting there going, oh, Brett Beatty, look, he can play. Yes, he's had more than 3 years of experience in the majors. He better figure it out. He better be hitting 15 home runs in a league where everybody hits home runs. Like, dude, we're sitting here I'm not praising Brett Beatty. He's got 15 home runs. Go up, look him up and down the league. There's 200 plus people that have 15 or 10 plus home runs. It's not impressive to me anymore. We can all you're a baseball player. That's what you could do. Get on base consistently. Hit the ball for a better batting average.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop with these cold streaks.
Yeah.
Defense is definitely improved. That's for sure. Dirt base definitely improved with Brett Beatty. But second base is a little weak. I'm not gonna sit there and he is soft when it comes down to him and Lindor. They are not on the same page.
Well, I mean, listen, the home run barrage in baseball. You've got to temper the enthusiasm. You look around. I mean, everybody's got some home runs. The Yankees have 5 guys with over 20, and here I am rambling for 3 hours that the Yankees have no shot, which we all know is true. Yankees have no shot to win the championship this year. So I am no longer moved by home runs. I understand what you're saying there. I'm just saying that I look at there's growth with Beatty, which I do appreciate. Like, you know, I gave you a 50 at-bat sample. Okay, it's not exactly big, but you mix that with Vientos. And even if only one of those guys remains hot the rest of the way, which is probably what's going to happen, and, you know, McClain, like, I just think there's more recent evidence from a Met perspective than a Yankee. But really, the Met season, in a lot of ways, guys, in terms of how you're really, truly going to feel, it starts tonight and starts tomorrow. Like, if you don't get Senga and Manaea going, it doesn't matter how much we talk about Beatty or Vientos or McClain or Holmes going 7 or, you know, this guy coming out of the pen. It does not matter. They must join the party. And you don't even need both to be great. But one of those guys has to start doing his job. And I think it's got to be Manaea more than Senga. Like, I trust him a little bit more. He seems to be more, I want to say mentally tough. That's not fair. But Senga just, I don't know, I can't really get a, and I've liked Senga, you know, I like him more than Sal, you know that, you've heard me say that, but he's just all over the map, like he just nibbles, and you look up and he nibble, no, you can't nibble like that. I think Manaea's got a little more of a chance to get back to what he was a year ago. Now, before we get a quick break, come back, get the calls. I need to at least check on, I mentioned this earlier, I need to check on the emotional condition of one soon-to-be 9-year-old Anthony Hoffman, who, unfortunately for soon-to-be 9-year-old Anthony Hoffman, he did serve up a cookie to Uncle BT, who was able to deposit this in Uncle Sal's pool on Saturday. And because I've seen this with my own son, and I actually don't mind this, little Anthony took the 3-run home run by Uncle BT very, very hard. So was he recovered in the car ride home? Was he did he stabilize during the evening?
I can't believe you're bringing this on air that you a 52-year-old man crushed a bomb off of a 7-year-old.
No, he's 8. I thought he was 8.
He's not 8 yet.
He's gonna be 8. I said soon to be 9. He's soon to be 8. Even better. He's got game.
I get it.
I'm not putting this on Anthony. I'm just making sure he's okay.
But you just went on air saying that you crushed a bomb off of a 7-year-old.
He left a little cutter that didn't move. I mean, what am I supposed to do?
He's 7.
Pop it up just to make him feel good?
He's 7. First of all, by the way,
yes.
The stickler that Anthony is, The previous play where you quote unquote fouled the ball.
It was foul. Of course it was close. But it was foul.
That's what pissed him off.
I know.
He's like, that was fair. He should have been out. Plus, I got Colt out at second base prior, but you guys said no. Colt's got to be at second base because
he threw the ball at him, which I love. If that's the rule, he knew what to do.
Yeah, he got Kinsley out of third base too. The same thing.
That's, what do you say? My family cheats? I mean, that's kind of what I'm hearing.
Hold
here.
On. I'm saying, like, dude, we're sitting here talking about you smashing a home run off of him. He didn't even care if he gave the home run. Yeah. By the way, you legitimately went O'Doyle style off of him from Happy Gilmore. Yeah. 100%.
Was it O'Doyle or O'Doyle?
O'Doyle.
Yeah,
rules.
It was O'Doyle. Yeah. O'Doyle. Yeah. Yeah, O'Doyle. You're right. O'Doyle rules.
BT is straight up O'Doyle rules. Off of a 7-year-old.
He also got to be ground out the first at bat.
With an illegal at bat, by the way.
No, that's just a good wiffle ball bat that we came with.
You guys came in, but hey, by the way, look at this thing. We got it all juiced up.
Well, we didn't. I know. We had a little tape on that. Here's the thing. The yellow wiffle ball bats are too small.
They're too short.
So you almost have to keep, if you're an adult, if you're a kid, they're good. You almost have to have your hand below the knob. You can't hit
There are bats that they sell that are like the black or thicker ones.
I've seen those.
Got the blue ones that are thicker. So like, those are the better ones.
That's what we brought.
Those are real deals.
Now, here's the thing. So you say I went old Doyle. But what is better? And I would want you to do the same thing to my kids. What is better? Because he's got a little game and he's competitive. Little Lane has a chance to be good, your son. What is better for his development? To, you know, have somebody smash one in the pool and understand
I
that
don't
you
think
gotta
he
make a better pitch.
He didn't care about the home run. Hmm. That's the thing.
Still the rules.
It's the rules that he's stickler. Dude, I swear.
Yeah, you told me that.
So we have 8U. He played a 9U game when we were 8U, and the rules were a little different. And he got thrown out at second base, and he got pissed. He goes, that's not fair. He blocked the plate.
I go, dude,
it's different rules. And we got the rules for the 9U, and it specifically says, I'm like, dude, remember when you told me that wasn't a rule?
Uh-huh.
Here is the rule that says, as long as they have the ball, they can block the plate. And he's like, all right, fine. Like, finally admitted to the fact that he was wrong. But he is a stickler for rules. So if he thinks in wiffle ball, you're allowed to peg somebody with the ball to get somebody out?
Yeah.
That's how they play?
And by the way, you don't think I've seen that my son's whole life? You think I identify that?
I'm talking to you. That's right.
I mean, I get it. So, you know, as a soon-to-be 8-year-old, I get it. I respect it. Kid's got his grind on. Good for him.
No, he understands he's going to give up home runs, especially to a 52-year-old man.
Oh, you got to keep slipping that in.
Dude, you sent it to the moon.
Yeah,
I walked it off.
I did barrel one up. It felt pretty good.
I think he did a bat flip.
I don't think I bat flipped.
Oh, you definitely bat flipped.
No, because my wife wouldn't run. I'm like, can you at least run so I can enjoy my jog around the bases?
I wish we had that on video.
I don't know if it's fair. Yeah, it's fair. Keep it moving. I want to jog. That was funny. All right, 888-808-1019. BT and Sound on the Fan. Back to these calls. Yanks, you know where I stand on that. Mets, you heard what Hoff and I were talking about that. Where are you from a Mets perspective going into the big Philly series?